Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Our chapel speaker this morning is Mr. Bob Kalmeyer. He is the director of placement here at the seminary. He received a BS degree from California State Polytechnic University, a THM from DTS, and has done graduate studies at UT Arlington in criminal justice and psychology. He's led various ministry experiences and had them, and including corporate chaplaincy, administrative pastor, singles pastor, missions pastor, and he, as I've mentioned, currently serves as director of placement. I know that he was at Lakewood Congregational Church in Pasadena for many years on the staff there. And, pardon?
Lake Avenue.
Lake Avenue. What did I say?
Lakewood.
That's close. Lake Avenue Congregational. Lake Avenue Congregational Church, yeah. Bob has written several articles, had led seminars on topics such as healing for damaged emotions, conflict in our personal lives, creation, Genesis, evolution, forgiveness, and friendship. So let's welcome Bob Kalmeyer today.
How's everybody doing? Maybe I need to ask that again. Okay, it kind of rumbled across there. All right. If you're doing all right, let your face know it, okay? That would be a big help. Several of you need to learn to smile. It doesn't hurt. But you watch some people and they struggle with a smile. I was reading several different things and I came across with speaking about smile and ministry, since that's what I do a lot of. Is ministry with pastors in that. I got this list of the perfect pastor, and I thought I would share it with you. Preaches exactly 20 minutes and follows it with an invitation in which everyone is convicted, but no one is offended. Yeah, you got to think about that one. All right. Works from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from counseling to custodial service. Make sure you underscore that. 27 years old with 30 years of preaching experience. I love that. That's what most churches are asking for, and they want him to grow their church from 120 to 2,000 in 2 years. He's tall and he's short, thin and heavy set, handsome but not overpowering. That's kind of... one brown eye and one blue eye. I got to think about that for a while. Hair is parted in the middle and is straight on one side and wavy on the other side, with a balding spot on top revealing his maturity. Thank you for laughing, Chaplain Bill. I appreciate that. All right. Has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all his time with the older folks. Yeah, uh-huh. He smiles constantly with a straight and sober face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously at his work. Well, think about that one. Now, this is the real kicker. I really like this one. Invest 25 hours a week in sermon preparation, 20 hours in counseling, 10 hours in meetings, 5 hours in emergencies, 20 hours in visitation and evangelism, 6 hours in weddings and funerals, 30 hours in prayer and meditation, 12 hours in letter writing and administration, and 10 hours in creative thinking. There are only 168 hours in a week, and I just read you 148 hours. That's what's expected. Okay, now nobody laughed at that one. Now, if you saw some of the pastor requests that come through, that's exactly what they sound like. Spends 5 evenings at home with his family, plus a day off, and always stops for interruptions. A seminary graduate, but uses only 1 and 2 syllable words. Makes 15 calls a day, spends all his time evangelizing the unchurched. That's a new one today, by the way. Attends all retreats, goes to all youth retreats, always available in his office. His kids are perfect, his mother is rich, his wife plays the piano. Ooh, you're not laughing anymore. Okay. His house is large for entertaining, but modest, smaller than the smallest house owned by others in the congregation. His bank account is small, his car is in the shop, he is paid too much, too little, and he gives it all away. Boy, nobody liked that one. All right. He is talented, gifted, scholarly, practical, popular, compassionate, understanding, patient, level-headed, dependable, loving, caring, neat, organized, cheerful, and above all, humble. Oh, boy. Well, anyways, I thought that that might be a little fun to read about the perfect pastor. I have one other thing I wanted to share with you, though, and this is, you know you're in Texas. You no longer associate bridges or rivers with water. You can say 110 degrees without fainting. You eat hot chili to cool your mouth off. You can make sun tea instantly. You learn that a seat belt makes a pretty good branding iron. Yeah. You discover that in July it takes only two fingers to drive your car. You notice the best parking place is determined by shade instead of distance. Hotter water comes from the cold water tap. It's noon in July. Kids are on summer vacation and not one person is out in the streets. You actually burn your hand opening the car door. Well, enough of that. I thought it might be enjoyable to look at that, which leads me into where we're going in the few minutes that I have. I'd like to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, the agape chapter or love chapter. The word agape is used in this chapter more than in the entire book of 1 Corinthians. There's about 16 to 17 different uses of the word, and almost 8 of those are found in this chapter. It's referred to as the love chapter, but I have to be very cautious with that in today's culture. I need to make sure you understand that when I speak of love in here and in this chapter, we're talking about agape love, not love as our culture manifests it. I've got everybody from loving their dog to loving their car to loving their fourth wife. I go, whoa, time. How many wives do you have? I thought you were only 38 years old. And if that wasn't funny, it really isn't. It's dead serious. We don't understand what agape love is. I'm just talking about believers. If we estimate that half of Christians get divorces today, then we know there's many, many things that go on in our culture that is very much like our culture and what we do. We have to think through then, what does God expect with agape? So in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not agape, I am nothing. I give all I possess to the poor, if I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, verse 4, agape is patient, agape is kind. And that's all the further I'm going to go with the words I want to look at. I want to look at two words. The first one is love, which we're going to talk about, but it says it's patient. I live a long ways from here. I live out north about 32 miles away in a place called The Colony. So I drive in with a lot of impatient people. Unfortunately, I have become like many of them. God bless you. I love you. Just don't get in my way. Did I say that right? Now, if you watch people drive on the freeway, it can be frightening. In fact, one of the things that will happen is if you use your horn, many people will back way away from you because they're afraid you've become aggressive. They don't want to have anything to do with that. 10, 15 years ago, they were so aggressive, they whipped out their pistols and were shooting people. But they pretty well clamped down on that because they had to put special units out on the highway to catch people like that and to prevent that from going on. I'm glad they did catch him. I'm glad it's not going on. I probably would have been shot by now. But if it's patient, what do we mean by that? Well, one thing is, in a culture like ours, we may not get any rewards that we visibly see, but wherever we are, patience should moderate and direct everything we do. I love coming out and getting in my car, driving off, go several blocks, and then watch people begin to haul. Now, I'm talking about the people from here. Some people do. They're on the cell phone, they're blowing and going, they got to get to the next appointment because they only sleep 5 hours a night and they didn't give them much time for ministry or study, but boy, on the go. So you hit that freeway, everybody else, you just keep going, keep pushing, keep shoving. But where is agape? It says agape is patient. Now, how do we practice that? It's a way of life because of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first things I would ask you about in dealing with love as patient is, how is your prayer life? Not, oh God, forgive me for what I'm about to do, but how is your prayer life? Oh Lord, forgive me for what I just did. No, how is your prayer life? Do you take time with the Lord each day to fill yourself up, but more than that, to be in His presence? To say, Lord, I love you. That's where real patience begins to flow from, is a healthy, consistent walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My neighbor behind me, they've moved on now, but when we first moved into our house 8 years ago, it was a new house that was built out there. They came in about a year later, built their home, and I noticed that he had an older car, but he got rid of it pretty quick. And then he watched me. I have a 1971 Volvo P1800 that I've worked on in my garage for an indefinite period of time. Anyway, he came over and had his can of beer and looked at it, was talking to me about it, went back home. A couple weeks later, brought a couple of his friends over and looked at it. And then his wife came over and asked my wife what she did. She said, I work for Hutton Communications. Oh, okay. And they went on talking, and I was waiting for him to ask me something, but they didn't. This went on for about 6 months, and by now we've gotten real close, and we've been talking with him everything. And one night, a July night, I was underneath my wife's car fixing a bracket on her muffler. It was 5 minutes after nine, and I looked over, and here are two pair of tennis shoes, men's and women's. So I rolled out on the creeper out from underneath the car, and I looked up and I said, what do you guys want? What do you do for a living? All right, I'm a preacher. I work at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he bumped and said, see, I told you so. And they left. That was all. They, after 6 months, they finally figured out who I was, what I did, but they still stayed in touch. And actually, the good thing from that is I was able to help them because they had many, many things going on. So for the next year that we were together, I was able to minister and to help them build the pieces together. But one of the first things they had to do is to overcome the reality of what it means to be a preacher. They never referred to me that way again. And they were welcome in our home anytime, and they knew that. So one of the things I learned very rapidly about love is patient is that the people around us in our lost culture watch us very carefully. And they pay attention to how we act towards them and towards others. Love is kind. Boy, is that a lost word today. With the economy shrinking, with the crunch that's come on everyone, kindness went out the window even faster than before. One of the heaviest things on my heart were the people in our neighborhood who were packing up, beginning to move on because he'd been looking for a job for 3 months, and in 3 months everything had dried up. A lot of people are angry. They're wounded. Love is kind. So I ask you, how can you and I be kind in our culture. Anywhere that God plants us, there is a multitude of things we can do to show kindness. It may be monetarily. It may be in offering to buy somebody a lunch or a breakfast. It may be getting involved in their life enough that they can draw from you and me the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is patient. Love is kind. There are many other words that we would have to take together to get a full picture of this. But the two that I wanted us to take with us were these two. If we are living a duality in our lifestyle, we need to bring that to a halt, bring it together that those who know us and are closest to us see the agape practiced. They also need to see from us this patience that flows, and then the kindness that manifests itself by doing good things for everybody. Not selective, not when I have time, but it's who we are. Love is patient, love is kind. I hope you have a good day today. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, it's been good to come together, to sing, to laugh, to worship you, to listen to your word. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who needs a large portion of your agape, that they will be able to experience it and accept your love. And then, Father, as we go from here, there may be people who need to have the door held for them, people who need to be encouraged, who need to see this love practiced in a kind way. So today, would we be marked by people who are kind? And not just around those who we should perform for, but may we be men and women who practice this as a way of life. For everyone here, I pray your richest blessing on them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.